بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We read here a few incidents of pious people that when they were leaving the world, how they looked forward to meeting the Creator because they had prepared for their death. They used to constantly remember death and make preparations for that inevitable day. So it says here, those people who prepared for death, remembered death in this world and did good deeds, death was for them like how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it in a hadith, that death is a gift for a mu'min. When death approached Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, his wife began to say, "Ah, how sad you are departing." But Bilal radiallahu ta'ala replied, "How pleasant and joyful it is that tomorrow I will meet our friends, that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions." Before Hazrat Muaz radiallahu ta'ala passed away, he said, "O Allah, I wish to live longer in this world, not because of the love of this world, nor in order to dig rivers and plant gardens, but in order to experience the thirst of fasting during the hot afternoons, and to spend time undergoing hardships for the sake of deen, and to participate in the gatherings of those remembering you." Before Hazrat Salman radhiyallahu anhu passed away, he began crying. Somebody inquired, "Why are you crying? You will meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi passed away in the condition that he was pleased with you." He replied, "I am not crying because of the fear of death, nor because of leaving this world. I am crying because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a promise from us that we should benefit from this world to the extent of a traveler's provision. I could not fulfill this promise. Yet when the goods of his house were examined after his demise, it was found that he had only left a little more than 10 dirhams, less than 300 rands. This was a surplus wealth in his entire estate, whereupon he was crying. He then asked for some musk, a perfume. He instructed his wife to soak it and sprinkle it on his bed. He said, "Such a group, that is a malaika, farishtas, are coming to me who are neither men nor jinn." When death approached Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi, he smiled and he said, "For such things people should labor." When he was about to pass away, he told his slave Nasr, "Place my head on the ground." Nasr began crying. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi asked him the reason for crying. He replied that you passed your life in comfort and now you are dying like a poor person placing your head on the ground. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi said to him, "Keep silent. I made dua to Allah Ta'ala that I should live like the wealthy but die like the poor." Hatab bin Yasar rahmatullahi says, a person was about to die. Shaitan approached him and said, "You have escaped me." In other words, "You did not come within my grasp." The person replied, "Even at this moment, I am not relieved of you." So we have heard a few incidents that how beautiful the death of these pious servants of Allah Ta'ala was, that they actually looked forward to meeting the Creator. The hadith that we just heard, "Al-mawtu tuhfatul mu'min," that death is a gift for a believer. In one hadith it is mentioned to the effect that "Man ahabba liqa' Allah ahabba Allah liqa'ahu, wa man kariha liqa' Allah kariha Allah liqa'ahu." That the person who looks forward to meeting his Creator, Allah Ta'ala looks forward to meeting him. On the other hand, the person obviously who is not prepared for the death, has not prepared for the akhirat, he dislikes meeting his Creator, so Allah Ta'ala dislikes meeting with him as well. In one hadith we are told, "Al-mawtu jasrun yusilul habib ilal habib," that death is like a bridge, it joins the lover to the beloved. So these people prepared for the ultimate day, for their death, by depositing for the akhirat good deeds, and with full hope and aspiration that these good deeds will attract the mercy and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and assist in paving the way to their salvation in the akhirat. It comes also that "Man mata faqad qamat qiyamatu," when a person dies, it is as if his qiyamat is commenced at the point of death. In other words, now he's transferring himself to the next world, and the next world is a beginning phase of the day of qiyamat. That is the stay that he will have to spend in his qabr, in his grave, in solitude. We heard yesterday also that in the grave, the main thing that will assist a person in safeguarding him from the punishment is his amal, his good deeds, those will be the protection from the fire, from the punishment that will come into his grave, into his qabr. The people that prepared for their death, when they would go into the qabr, they knew exactly what questions would be posed to them, and they had the answers ready in reply to these questions. When Hazrat Rabia Basriya, rahmatullah alayha, passed away, someone saw her in a dream. They saw in a dream that she is in her qabr, and Munkar and Nakir, the two farishtas who will come to question every person in the qabr, had arrived, and they began to question her. That mar rabbuka, ma dinuka, ma taqulu fi hadha al-rajul alladhi bu'itha fikum. That who is your Rabb? What is your religion? What do you say about this man that is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that was sent amongst you? So when Rabia Basriya Rahmatullah heard these questions, she questioned Munkar and Nakir by asking them, they tell me, from how far have you come? So they replied, we have come from the heavens. She asked them, what was the distance between the heaven and the earth? They replied, the distance equivalent of making a journey equivalent to 500 years. So Rabia Basriya Rahmatullah said to Munkar and Nakir, that you have traveled a distance of the equivalent of 500 years of journeying, and you have not forgotten Allah Ta'ala. I have merely come down 6 feet below the ground. You expect me to forget my Rabb? I have not forgotten my Rabb. Someone saw Umar Farooq Radhan in a dream that he is in a qabr. Munkar and Nakir began to question him, Mar Rabbuka, Ma Deenuka, Ma Taqulu Fi Hadha Rajul. In turn, Hazrat Umar Farooq retorted by questioning them, that Mar Rabbuka Wa Ma Deenuka, who is your Rabb? What is your deen? Then they realized that this is Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. Let us make ourselves scarce. We cannot question him. So these were the people that prepared for the day, and they knew that their good deeds, amal, will assist them in attracting the mercy of Allah, in warding off the punishment of the grave. It comes in one hadith that يَتْبَعُ الرَّجُلَ ثَلَاثٌ يَرْجِعُ إِثْنَانُ وَيَبْقَى وَاحِدٌ. When a person يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثٌ, when a person dies, then three things follow him to the grave. Two of those things return from the cemetery, and one thing remains with him. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam elaborated, يَرْجِعُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَيَبْقَى عَمَلُهُ. That the three things that follow the person to the grave, one is his family, second is his wealth, and third are his amal, his actions. In those days, when the family used to go and bury the deceased, the wealth of that person would also go with the person. What was the wealth of the person in those days? It was livestock, their camels, their goats, etc. These animals would also be taken to the Qabristan. Two things would return from there. The family, after burying the deceased, they would return. And his livestock, his wealth would return to be distributed amongst the heirs. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says the only thing that remains to provide solace for the person in the qabr is his amal, his actions. Those will assist him in warding off the punishment in the grave. That will assist him to attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a sensible person will prepare for the day by doing as much good amal, good deeds as possible. In fact, people in the qabr look forward to having this amal, even if they themselves perhaps did not do sufficient amal. Their whole aspirations on their families, on their children, that their children should perhaps give some khairat, sadqa, convey the reward to them, make tilawah to the Quran, convey the reward to them. They look forward to them, to these things. The person in the qabr, in that realm of alam arwa, or in that realm of alam barzakh, the in-between stage of this world and the hereafter, is such a place where if the deceased soul is blessed with a reward that is conveyed to the soul, then his soul finds comfort and solace in there. That is the most valuable thing for that person in his qabr, in that realm of alam and barzakh. A story is related where one person who had, was blessed with the gift of kashf-e kubur, Allah Ta'ala blessed him that he could see things taking place in the alam and barzakh, in that resting place of the qabr. He once happened to pass a certain graveyard, a qabristan, and he saw all of a sudden all the deceased came out of their graves, and they were busy picking up something from the floor. When he went close to see, he saw they were picking something that was radiant, shining. But in one corner of the Qabristan, he found one person relaxing, sitting, not bothering to pick up these radiant, shining, so-called gems. So he went up to that person and questioned him, that what are these people picking up? So he replied that whenever someone passes this Qabristan, he recites Quran al-Kareem, whether it is three times, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, whether it is other parts of the Quran, and they convey the reward to the deceased people in this Qabristan. So this reward manifests itself in the form of these radiant gems, and it is distributed amongst the deceased. So each one is trying to pick up his share of the reward. So then he asks this man, the old man, that why are you not picking up anything? Why are you sitting so relaxed? So he replied that I have a son that is alhamdulillah hafiz of the Quran. And he recites one entire Quran daily, conveys the reward to me. So that is sufficient treasure for me. My son sends the reward of the whole Quran. I do not have to pick up these bits and pieces that other people are picking up. So he heard this, he went on his way. After some months, he passed by the same cemetery. Allah Ta'ala again revealed to him, and he saw the deceased coming out of the graves again, everyone picking up these radiant gems from the ground. Now he saw that old man also busy picking up with the other people. So he thought to himself that few months ago he said that his son conveys the reward to me and that is sufficient for me. So why is he now picking up these gems with the other people? So he questioned him. He replied that my son that used to recite an entire Quran a day and convey the reward has also passed away. So now he no longer recites one entire Quran to convey the reward. When he inquired in the nearby neighboring village, he found that yes, that son of this man had indeed passed away. Previously when he was living, he always thought of his father and always conveyed the reward to him. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says that when his father was in the throes of death, he was also an alim, his father, Maulana Muhammad Yaseen Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. He says, when my father was on his deathbed, I was near his deathbed, he opened his eyes and he called out to me that, Muhammad Shafi, come closer. He says, when I went closer, my father said to me that many people, when their parents leave the world, they remember them for a few days and then forget about them. So I know that perhaps it is human nature, you may also forget me, but do not be too hasty in forgetting me. In other words, I have blessed you with knowledge of deen, you are blessed with the Quran, at least recite the Quran and convey the thawab, the reward to me. And together with that, you may also sometimes give something in charity, convey the reward of that to me. That will also provide assistance to me in the qabr, in that stage of alam-e-barzakh. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah said that my father gave this advice in such earnestness that when the Mufti Shafi Sahib mentioned the incident, he says, it is 40 years since my father has passed on. I have never forgotten his words. Until today, alhamdulillah, I recite the Quran and convey the reward to my father. I give charity, convey the reward to my father. Let us take stock of ourselves. Many of us have lost our parents. Very quickly we forget them. Many of us are hafaz of the Quran. Walking to and fro, we can recite the Quran and convey the reward to them, which will be of great benefit to them, a great assistance for them. Yet we are neglectful. We forget to send reward for these people. The Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in were so observant of the rights of their parents that leave aside their parents, they would even do good deeds towards the friends of their parents. On one occasion, as Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhuma, Ibn Dinar rahmatullah relates the incident. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radhiyallahu anhu was on a journey and he noticed in the distance a Bedouin, simple looking man from the village. And Ibn Umar went up to that person. Ibn Umar was riding a camel. He went up to that Bedouin. He disembarked from the camel and gave the camel as a gift to that Bedouin. And he also took off his turban and gave the turban as a gift to that Bedouin. Ibn Dinar rahmatullah says that the companions of Abdullah bin Umar were quite astonished and they asked him that why have you given so much to this simple man, a man from the village? He would have been happier, you would have been still happy if you gave much less to him. You had no need to give such great amount of wealth to him. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar replied that this man is a son of the friend of my father, Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. In other words, he was not even the friend of my father. He was a son of my father's friend. So because of the relationship, friendship, with my father, I feel that I need to do justice, do good deeds to this person also. And then he related to the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sa'azam, that from among the ways that a person can fulfill the rights of one's parents, that when the parents pass on, not only the relatives of the parents, but even to do good to the friends of one's parents, that also falls in fulfilling the rights of one's parents. In one place it is mentioned that on one occasion, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, after the demise of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had migrated out of Madinah Munawwara. On one occasion, he paid a visit to Madinah Munawwara. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu came to know of this, and he went to meet Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, made a specific time to go and meet him, to sit with him for a little while. And then he said to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, that in spite of my engrossments, in spite of my busy schedule, I took out time to come and meet you. Do you know the reason for this? The reason is that you are a good friend and a good companion of my father Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. In order to fulfill my father's rights, I have come to meet you. In one hadith it is mentioned that on one occasion, someone from the tribe of Banu Salma came to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that, O Rasul of Allah, after our parents leave the world, how is it, which ways can we fulfill their rights? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to him that first of all, make constant dua for your parents. Secondly, make dua maghfirat for them. Thirdly, if they made a promise to someone in their lifetime which they could not fulfill, they may have some debts, etc., then fulfill that promise on their behalf. And fourthly, look after the relatives of your parents, be kind to them. And fifthly, even the friends of your parents, be good to them, be kind to them also. In this way, you will be fulfilling the rights of your parents and also maintaining the kinship and the ties that a son or child ought to maintain with his or her parents. So all these things explain to us the importance of remembering our deceased relatives that departed from us to convey Isale Thawab to them. In one hadith it is mentioned that if a person recites 11 times Qul Huwallahu Ahad and conveys the reward to all the occupants of a certain Qabristan, then the amount of people that are buried there, equivalent to that, this person will get the reward of the Surah Ikhlas. In other words, he recited merely 11 times. But let us say 10,000 people are buried there. So he will get the reward of reciting 10,000 times Surah Ikhlas. And this is mentioned in the hadith of Kanzul Ummal. So what a great benefit that by conveying reward to the deceased, we also benefit. That we have read 11 times Surah Ikhlas, but we are getting the reward of 10,000 or 20,000 times Surah Ikhlas. In one hadith it is mentioned to this effect, that when a person goes to a Qabristan and he recites Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Ikhlas, and Surah Al-Takathur, Al-Hakum Al-Takathur, and he makes dua that, O Allah, convey the reward of these three surahs to every male and female Muslim in this Qabristan. The benefit of this and the offshoot of this is, on the day of Qiyamah, all the occupants of this Qabristan will make sifarish for that person, will intercede for that person's salvation. So much benefit. By reciting and conveying reward to the deceased, we are benefiting them and we are benefiting ourselves as well. So very, very important not to forget our deceased relatives, particularly our parents, to recite for them, convey reward to them, visit their qabr, visit their graves, and make isale thawab for them. This is very, very important, to also convey the reward to all the people of the Qabristan. A certain buzurug who is a khalifa of the Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, is blessed with the gift of Kashf-e-Qubur. He once explained to us that he went to pay a visit to the qabr of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, here in our country in Ellsberg. And he says Allah Ta'ala allowed him to make some communication with Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. One question he posed to Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, that it was always your desire to pass away in Madinah Munawwara, but you passed away here in South Africa. Hazrat Mufti Sahib replied to him that in this realm, in Alam and Barzakh, there are no barriers. Whenever I request Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala immediately takes me to Madinah Munawwara and I can convey my salam, whatever, pay my respects to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he says, Hazrat Mufti Sahib said to him, that it is my fervent wish that when people visit my grave, when they read Quran and convey the reward to me, they should also convey the reward to all the people of this particular Qabristan, so that they can also benefit. So it shows that whenever we have the opportunity, we should pay our visit to the Qabristan. Going to the Qabristan reminds us of the Akhirat, reminds us of our ultimate destination as well, and gives us the opportunity to read for the deceased, convey reward to them. They too will benefit. We too will, inshallah, benefit. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.